Well, good evening, everybody. It's great to be here with you. I've looked forward to this event, and I want to thank you for coming to the Biblical Counseling Training Conference once again. Well, let's pray and ask for God's help as we launch into our first session. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for Faith Church and their vision for equipping the saints for the work of the ministry beyond the bounds of their own ministry. I thank you for the training that I've received and the benefit from this ministry over the years. Thank you for this wonderful conference and the thousands of people that are coming. Pray you give those that are still traveling safety. And Lord, help us. Many of us have had just very hectic days. Would you help us to tune in, think carefully about these matters? And Father, I would ask that you'd help me to speak in a way that's clear and precise, that's truly equipping and beneficial to these dear brothers and sisters in Christ. In your name I pray, amen. I've been asked to speak on the top mistakes that even seasoned counselors make. And as I get into that, I think there's some questions that are very legitimate for you to ponder before I tell you what I think those mistakes are. Three questions I anticipate you would be thinking about, so I'm going to try to answer them in advance. First one is, who are you to make this determination? Well, I'm just a veteran, not biblical counselor, but a biblical veteran of training biblical counselors. I joined the Faith Biblical Counseling, counseling and training staff in 1982. That's been a long time. I had the privilege of serving here, the training center, for 24 years. I've never lived here, never had the privilege of being a member of Faith Church, but wherever I lived in Indiana over that period of 24 years, on Mondays, I drove here to be part of the training program. So I've been involved in doing a lot of training with that. In 1989, I became a fellow with what was then called the National Association of Youthetic Counselors, and that's when I began supervising people that were pursuing certification. So the question, my other question might be asked was, what kind of counselors have you been evaluating that have led you to draw the conclusions that you're going to present to us? Well, my conclusions have come as a result of supervising individuals who are pursuing certification with the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, formerly called NANC. So that should tell you that this is not your average run-of-the-mill church member. Becoming ACBC certified is a rigorous process. It's doable, and all of you that haven't done it ought to get right and get it done. So the people I'm talking about are people who have had hours and hours of training. They've read over 1,000 pages of counseling literature. They've passed a theology exam. They've passed a counseling exam. And now they're submitting reports to me or one of the other ACBC fellows. So the kind of people I'm evaluating are the kind that, for all the pastors here, we'd all like to have a dozen more in our church probably. All right? These are serious Bible students who've been very committed to not just the concept of biblical counseling, but about growing in their abilities to do it. So then the next question would be, well, okay, so if that's the group you worked with, what were your data gathering procedures that led to these determinations? The data gathering procedures came from discussing the 12 questions on the ACBC case report form. Some of the questions that I'm always very interested in is number 2, what was the reasons the individual came for counseling? I'm also very interested in question 3, what change was made by the counselee since the last session as a result of what you talked about in the session or by performing last session's homework? I'm always very interested in question 4, what main problems were discussed in the session? And I'm always interested, particularly in question 7, what biblical solutions were presented? And then number 8, what homework was given? All the questions are very, very helpful. And in my orientation little speech I make with people, my very first supervision call with them, I tell them you should view the ACBC case report form as your friend. Those 12 questions have been carefully crafted to help you think through the process of biblical counseling. So I've discussed this with a number of people. One of the requirements for anybody that's pursuing ACBC certification is that you have to submit 5 audio recordings of counseling sessions that you have conducted. I tell the people I supervise, I want to listen to sessions 1 and 2 early in the process. Then after we go a while, I want to listen to another brand new session, number 1, and another session 2, and later another session 1. And part of that is because of my commitment to trying to help people develop their skills and getting off to a good start in counseling. My observation is most people don't need much help on sessions 6, 7, and 8. They need a lot of help on 1, 2, and 3. All right? So over the years since I've been supervising people, I've been listening to at least 5 recordings with everybody that I supervise. And usually I take notes on a Nank piece of notepaper that looks like this. I have always written very small, and usually as I listen to a recording, I will take 3 pages of notes. And so here's just a sample of what some of my notes might look like. By the way, I had one counselee tell me that I write bad enough I could have been a doctor. So if you look at that, particularly if you look at the left side, you'll start seeing some numbers, because as I listen to the recording, I'm writing down the time that certain things happened and taking notes through it. I record what was happening. And then my 3rd page is usually my summary. And my summary is always organized around 3 categories. I make some general observations about the recording. Then I will talk about what I viewed as the strengths of the session. And then I will talk about where I think they ought to make some adjustments, some suggestions for improvement. I've got a stack of those papers that's this high. I have listened to hundreds of counseling sessions from people who know their Bible well enough to pass the ACB exams and who are now in supervision. So I say that to say, when I talk about the top 10 mistakes from seasoned biblical counselors, these are people who have been in the trenches and are doing it for a period of time. Let me try to address the topic that I was assigned. What are the common mistakes, or the top mistakes, of seasoned biblical counselors, and what would be the recommended corrections? Just like in good counseling, it's not enough that you identify the problem. We need to provide a solution. I'm going to try to do both. First, one of the most common mistakes is failing to adequately prepare for the counseling session. And one of the questions I have learned to ask people as I begin supervising them is, how did you prepare? I will ask that question over and over again. If I had to summarize what I hear, particularly in the beginning days of supervision, what I hear is, I prayed. And that's about it. And I am one who's going to speak against what I call winging it. And for the people in this room and the people that I'm supervising, they have enough Bible knowledge that in many, many cases, they could wing it. And it'd be a, you know, somewhat decent session or something, but it would not be excellent. And the model of ACBC is pursuing excellence in biblical counseling. So here's how I advise you, if you're one of those who does not prepare adequately for the counseling session, here's what I would encourage you to do to change that. And I would also say that good preparation is one of the ways that we manifest not just a love for God, but a love for our counselees. We love them enough to prepare well. And here's what that means in my thinking. First of all, you receive the personal data inventory and also the basic information sheet at least 48 hours prior to session 1. I just would encourage you to make that just a rule. And once you've got a couple of 1,000 hours under your belt as a biblical counselor, it's not as near as important. But particularly for those of you that are beginners, and I know this is track 4, but I also know that there's a lot of people who like coming to conferences that are well run, but there's a lot of people who go to conferences like this who don't have much seat time where you're actually doing it. And for those of you that are novices like that, I mean, we're glad you're here, but I want to say to you that you ought to get the written information ahead of time. You ought to have it in your possession for at least 48 hours so you can review it carefully, you can think about it, pray about it, and you can plan your strategy going into the session with at least some of that basic information. Preparing well also means